Before we'd open the word this morning, please join me in prayer for the Spirit's guidance. Let's pray. And God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. And amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change. Enable us to respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and I invite you to open your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 22. I'll be reading verses 1 through 14 this morning. Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. And then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" So the word of the Lord for us this morning. Now, as a Christian pastor, I'm supposed to preach grace, 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 grace. It's all about grace and the infinite love of God. Moreover, it's very unpopular to speak of a God who just might judge someone and send them out into the darkness and eternal punishment for the things they do while on this earth. It's not popular to preach about such things these days. How cruel, how unfair. Isn't that just old fire and brimstone preaching, you might ask? As far as theological topics goes, this topic of eternal punishment and this place called hell has been on the front burners of many minds as of late, of this last year or so. Maybe you've heard of this guy down near Grand Rapids. His name's Rob Bell, and his book called Love Wins. He apparently ignited a firestorm of controversy among evangelical Christians over the love and justice of God and over the existence or non-existence of this place called hell. Well, the parable of Jesus we're looking at this morning includes some controversial topics as well, of course, one of which in particular is this man at the wedding banquet. This part of the story that really throws me off is this man at the wedding banquet who seems to be out of uniform. He's not wearing what everyone else is wearing. And then he's thrown out on his ear. What's this all about? This is a curious teaching of our Lord Jesus. A teaching for us this morning, too. This teaching of Jesus is called the parable of the wedding banquet. But it's really not about wedding banquets. Surprise. Like so many other parables of Jesus, the title of it, the title that's put in there by Bible publishers mostly, can distract us from what the parable is really about and really trying to teach us. It's also a well-worn parable, which could make it easy for us to gloss over it and not to really hear it or experience this teaching of Jesus this morning. The parable is really about a dissed king. It's about a dissed king and the consequences for how one responds to his gracious invitations. And of course, we're supposed to learn from this story about God's gracious invitation through his Son, Jesus Christ, and how there are many different ways that people respond to God's gracious invitation. The invitation continues to go out today for people to place their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. God continues to call people to respond to his grace by repenting and turning from their sins and turning to God in Christ. Sometimes people are invited directly through evangelism efforts by an individual who shares the gospel with them and invites them directly to place their faith in Jesus. Sometimes it's through a church service or a Christian speaker that the invitation goes out. At other times, people are invited into the kingdom through an act of service, an act of love, an unconditional acceptance of who they are, and then the individual comes to a point of asking why, what's the motive for this love, and then the gospel is presented. The invitation goes out. Some of the people hear the invitation and they ignore it. Some people hear it and they reject it outright. Well, some people even become violent and militant when they hear the invitation. Others give lip service. They send back the RSVP, but they really don't intend to do anything about it. They don't intend to go to the party. And of course, there are those who are just too busy, too preoccupied with work, with life, with family, with home, business. So they return the invitation saying, no, thank you, we're busy, maybe next time, how about a rain check? And all of these responses, I think, are found in this parable called the parable of the wedding banquet. But as we'll see, this king and his invitation is not something to be trifled with. First, the rejections to the invitation. The first seven verses, Jesus sets up the scene for us in this first part of this story, this teaching of Jesus. And in this opening scene, we get a glimpse of the graciousness, and I would add, the patience of this king. The king had prepared a wedding banquet for his son, and he welcomed people, and he invited them, and he wanted people to come and to celebrate. And these sorts of celebrations in the ancient world could last a week or longer. And do I even need to say, if the king invites you, you might not want to turn him down, especially on such an important and personal celebration to the king. We're told in verse 3 that the king sent servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. The servants went to those who had already been invited. So the actual servants going out are a second round of invitations, a personal face-to-face invitation from one of the king's royal messengers. They might lose the invite in the mail or think it's junk mail or the email might get sent to spam or something like that. But it's hard to refuse a personal face-to-face invite from one of the king's royal messengers. But they refuse to come. They go back to the king and say, sorry, king, I went to them. I talked to them face-to-face. They refused to come. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this. Continuing from chapter 21 of Matthew, Jesus has been in direct conflict with the religious leaders of his day. They've been challenging Jesus' authority, especially after Jesus went into the temple and overturned the money changers' tables and condemned the whole temple establishment altogether. A new way would provide direct access to God's forgiveness and grace, the way of crucifixion. And by the way, Jesus is telling this parable during Passion Week, the week leading up to the crucifixion. So Jesus, in his parables, is turning the tables on the religious leadership. In these stories, Jesus is challenging and he's pronouncing judgment on the religious leaders themselves and upon their own authority. In essence, he says, I'm not the one on trial here, you are. God's gracious and very patient invitation has gone out on numerous occasions. Over and over again, God, in history, God had been sending his people, he's been sending his prophets to his chosen elect people of Israel to turn from their sins, to turn from their wicked ways, to follow God and God's ways as laid out in his word. Over and over again, God has been patient and he's been sending the invitations. But the people kept refusing the invitation. They rejected the call of God. So now God sends one more prophet, one more messenger to his chosen people, his own son, and they're rejecting him as well. And they're about to mistreat him and kill him too. And Jesus continues in verse 4. The king sent more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." The persistent king sends a third round of invitations out to his guests. This time he's describing the meal and the preparations that have been made. The table is ready. It's been prepared. Won't you come? Won't you come and celebrate with me? No, it says in verse 5, they paid no attention. And they went off, one to his field, another to his business. There must have been better things to do. Work had to be done. Games had to be played. The market had to be watched. There's no time for these celebrations. Didn't the king know how busy we are and what busy lives we lead? Maybe next time, king, how about a rain check? And then there were others who became violent, and they seized the servants and mistreated them, abused them, killed them even. Which, by the way, in the ancient world would have been a serious act of treason and rebellion to kill one of the king's royal messengers. He didn't just do that and get away with it. But some of the prophets likewise were mistreated and even killed. So the parable goes, the king sent an army and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. Jesus may be looking forward to 70 AD when the city of Jerusalem was burned and the temple actually destroyed. So since those already invited refused, rejected, rebelled against the king and his invitation, the king broadens the scope of the invitation. So next, in verses 8 through 10, the second section of our story, of the parable, the king offers an open invitation to the wedding banquet. Then he said to his servants, it says in verse 8, "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. They wanted to come on their own terms and their own time, or they didn't need the king's hospitality at all. They were doing just fine on their own, thank you very much. Or they reacted violently to his gracious invitation.' So now in the story, they are the ones who don't deserve to come. They are the undeserving invited guests. They couldn't handle grace. They rejected the free gift of the king, and they continued to do so upon multiple and persistent invitations. They don't deserve grace because they rejected it. Similarly, the religious leaders and the other Jews of Jesus' day would reject God's grace and invitation into the kingdom when they rejected his Messiah, God's anointed prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ, God's own son. So the king in the parable says to his servants in verse 9, "Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." Go out to the street corners, invite anyone that you find. The servants went into the highways and byways, and it says they gathered in all the people they could find, both the good and the bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. The invitation wasn't open any longer to the privileged only. It wasn't just open to the educated only, the learned, to those who kept the law with legalistic perfection, or those who said they did. The king opens the invitation to any who would come, the good and the bad. You see, the guest list wasn't based upon your history or background or your pedigree or parole record. The invitation was based solely upon the grace and hospitality of the host. And now those who in the world's eyes were undeserving and unworthy, those out by the street corners on the streets, They were invited. They were welcome to the party. The kingdom of heaven is like this, Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding hall that's filled with guests, like sinners and the sick and children and the aged, all those who understand their limitations, who know their personal helplessness, their need for help, for love, for forgiveness, for divine acceptance. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding hall celebration filled with people who do not have this prideful sense of self-worthiness or self-reliance. Sinners, publicans, the Gentiles, the non-Jews will fill the wedding halls of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like this. So in the parable of the wedding hall, the wedding banquet, the halls are filled with guests. And yet the story, the lesson, isn't over yet. There's this strange incident of a man found to be without proper attire. So next, in verses 11 to 13, the story takes us to another judgment lesson about the one who responds to the invitation but refuses to prepare for the banquet properly. Right when we thought we caught the lesson Jesus was trying to teach us in this parable, he throws in one more point for us to get. There are some who will say with their lips, "Lord, Lord," but in the end, they will still not belong. They will be thrown out and judged just like those who rejected and violently reacted to the king's invitation. Why is this? After all, we'd say, the man did respond to the invitation and he did go to the party. Why is he thrown out? Now, some take the wedding clothes to mean the righteousness of Christ. So if you're trying to get into the kingdom of God based on any other righteousness, whether it's status or good works or whatever, that it simply won't do. This man at the banquet still thought he could come to the king's party on his own terms, in his old clothes, in his own clothes. Now, I think in this parable of Jesus, it would be reasonable to believe that anyone the servants found out on the streets wouldn't have wedding clothes hanging in their closet, ready to go at a moment's notice to anybody, a king that would invite them to a party. So this leads me to believe that the guests that they found came to the party and were given the wedding clothes, that the king offered these wedding clothes to them. And this makes this man's situation all the worse. For then it would appear that he refused to wear the clothes that were given him, provided for him, were required to wear by the king. Here he is in the banquet, but not wearing the clothes. Now, a geeky pastor's joke this morning. It gives you maybe an image of what's going on here. Three pastors go to a Tigers playoff game at Comerica Park. And all of a sudden, they notice large, burly men wearing these yellowed T-shirts going down the aisles. And the back of the T-shirt says security on it. And they grab some man who's causing a disturbance, and they take him out. And then one of the pastors speaks up. "Looks like somebody wasn't wearing the wedding clothes." This is sort of an image I get in this passage. As surround this guy at the banquet. I see the king and his entourage surrounding, and Jesus says in verse 12, "Friend," someone once said, "Beware when Jesus calls you friend," especially in the book of Matthew. "Friend, how did you get in here without clothes?" And the man was speechless in his guilt. And maybe Jesus is looking forward to when he's kissed by Judas in the garden. And again, in Matthew, he uses that word friend in an ironic way. Saying later in Matthew, "Friend, do what you came for." The king then tells the attendants to bind the man hand and foot and send him out into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The man apparently was given or offered the royal robe to wear, but refused to wear it. Now, whether he was a rebellious sort or just was embarrassed by the clothes, I don't know. He certainly didn't prepare himself well for the banquet by taking on the clothes that were given him. Not all who respond to the invitation to the kingdom of God will do so from the heart. There are many who look like they're responding and by some of their actions, but in their heart they're still rejecting the grace of God given, offered through his Son, Jesus Christ. The teaching of Jesus serves as a warning, first to the Jews and the Jewish religious leadership of that day. Yes, even a loving God will judge those who insult or ignore or presume upon the grace of God, his gracious offer, invitation to eternal life in his kingdom, and serves as a warning for us today too. The parable concludes with that well-worn words of verse 14, "For many are invited, but few are chosen." That word for invited is really called in the original, and you may have heard that in other translations. For many are called, but few are chosen. I think the word many there has a universal scope. The context of the parable, the servants going out into the streets to find whoever they would come. The invitation went out to all, but in the end, only a few will actually demonstrate that they are chosen. That is, a few will show themselves to be true followers of Jesus. The interesting thing is that Israel and the religious leadership, the ones who considered themselves to be chosen, the elect of God, the privileged, they're the ones being judged by this parable. The ones who will be sent out into darkness because of their choice to reject God's Messiah, Jesus. And yet the true chosen and elect of God will be those who recognize their need for a Savior and respond appropriately to the invitation. Now, much can be made of, and much is made of, verse 14. Many are called, but few are chosen. But simply put, from the human perspective, we see a wide open call of God, the invitation that is open. We see individuals responding to that invitation. But from God's point of view, an appropriate response by an individual only reveals God's prior divine election. From God's point of view, an appropriate response and the standards of religiosity and legalism or family or national privilege and status, they don't apply in God's math. Those who think they deserve the kingdom based upon their own merits will not get in. Those who think they can take or leave the invitation from the King of Kings will find that they themselves are rejected. No, the true followers of God's Messiah, Jesus, will be the ones who know their imperfections, who know about their sins and shortcomings. They will be the ones who indeed clothe themselves with the righteousness of Christ, won for them on Calvary. So would a loving God really judge people? I'd say the judgment is really brought on by the individual who refuses grace, who turns down the invitation to eternal life in God's kingdom through his Son, Jesus Christ, who doesn't come to the wedding banquet, who rejects the invitation. So there's a warning in today's lesson for those of us who've been rejecting, refusing, rebelling, or ignoring the invitation that has been coming over and over again in our lives. But the more glorious lesson in this morning's parable, the wedding banquet, is a lesson of grace, I believe. This lesson goes out to us today, too, for the invitation is open for all who would come and believe in God's one and only Son, Jesus. The invitation is open to any who would lay down their self-righteousness and self-reliance and would become vulnerable enough to acknowledge their need for the love of God in Jesus Christ. So it goes out to both the good and the bad. Praise be to God for his gracious invitation to all. Let's pray together. God, we pray that we might hear and heed your invitation to your kingdom today. Forgive us for when we've ignored it, rejected it, or even mistreated your servants who have brought your invitation to us. Thank you for your grace and love demonstrated through your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Encourage us on our journeys, O Lord, as we continually clothe ourselves with Christ, dying to ourselves and living for him more and more every day. And help us maintain a proper perspective of holy fear and awe of you, the one and only living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For to you be praise, glory, and honor forever and ever. Amen.